We've all been watching a lot of television in the last week because for many days we were just trapped at the house with the icy roads and schools and businesses closed. And George, you were no exception.
I was one of many Americans and I guess folks worldwide who watched this, the number one show on Netflix. Have you watched His and Hers yet?
No.
It is it's interesting. It's a murder mystery.
Okay.
And the acting is absolutely soap opera-esque and terrible. But it will rope you in, and I can see why it's the number one show in America. Because we love murder mysteries. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of twist in it. It's good.
Any big-name actors?
Tessa Thompson, you know who she is?
Nope.
She's been in a few things. No, and that's why I think the acting's so bad.
Okay.
It's really bad. There's a lot of unstable things to it, but it'll rope you in, and we watch that in 2 days' time. I think there's 8 episodes, but it's the number one show on Netflix, and I fell victim to that. I would give that thumb sideways. I mean, it's you feel guilty after you watch it. Like, man, I have wasted my time, but you have to know how it ends and who done it. Highly recommend Train Dreams. Have you seen this? This is up for Best Picture and Best Cinematography. It's about a logger who is in the Pacific Northwest in the early to mid-1900s. It's really sad. It's somewhat slow-moving. Joel Edgerton is the lead actor in this. I don't know if y'all have heard of him.
That's a name that needs to be edited to me.
Edgerton?
Yeah, that's a hard name for me to say, Edgerton.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's
obviously
too many
too.
Syllables.
Yeah. It's good. I don't know if it's everyone's cup of tea because it's slow moving. It's one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to give that one thumbs up. I think y'all will like that one. I'm also going to recommend this documentary that was put out last year in 2025. It was inspirational. I learned a lot, and I have a new respect for this person. The question, who's the greatest songwriter, you can even say singer-songwriter, of all time? That's what this is about. Now, that's a very arguable point. Who is? Who knows? This guy has written over 900 songs, 130 albums worldwide. He has sold 90 million albums. He's the only performer to have a Billboard Top 100 in 7 straight decades. You have
My
any
goodness.
Idea who I'm talking about?
Okay. Songwriter.
Yep.
7 straight
Performer.
Decades.
Slim Whitman.
Oh, is
Good
this
guess?
Paul Anka?
Yes. He hit the scene when he was 15 years old. He went to New York because he started writing songs and he could sing. He was from Ottawa. And the record company signed him to a record deal at 15 years old. And that's when he started writing songs like this. And this is where he hit the scene. And it shows these old clips of him on these concert tours, these one-night concert tours. And he started going out with guys that, out on the road with guys that he would listen to, like Buddy Holly and Fats Domino. And they would show him getting out of the bus and going into some theater. And he had the same girl reaction that the Rolling Stones and Beatles got.
Really?
It was just girls screaming and crying. We've never understood that one, why girls cry when they're that close to a musical performer. But he was huge. And here he is, 15, 16 years old, on the Ed Sullivan Show. He's on American Bandstand. He's everywhere. And then he starts going on tours with Pat Boone, North Texas' own, Bobby Darin, Frankie Avalon, and these guys are just, they're icons. But they're at a very young age. Those other guys were not writers. Anka was a writer and kept writing songs and writing songs. Then the Beatles came along. And when the Beatles came along and the Rolling Stones and the British Invasion, he had a decision to make of, okay, I'm not the big deal anymore. So what am I going to do? So he started playing nightclubs, and that's when he got introduced to Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin. And my opinion, I don't know what your take on Anka was. I just thought, yeah, he played Vegas for a long time, did a few songs, and I had no idea what a prolific writer he was.
The thing I always remember most about him is that he wrote the Tonight Show theme. That,
very good.
Did he really? Wow.
Yeah, that was a song that he had already written. And he changed the tempo a little bit, rearranged it, and presented it to Johnny in 1962, right when Johnny was starting to host the show. And he came back to Paul and said, yeah, they want to go with a, you know, a more experienced writer. And he said, I'll tell you what, we'll split the publishing on it and see how that works out. Well, they both got rich on it because that song got played on TV from 1962 until Johnny called it quits in the 1990s.
You know what I always thought of when I heard the name Paul Anka, because I always got hung up on the last name. Such an unusual last name, A-N-K-A. I always thought about Sanka, the instant coffee.
Yeah,
that's funny. I got the same confusion back in the 70s.
I thought he had something to do with the coffee company.
But he was around a lot in the 70s when we were growing up. This song was huge from 1974. Crank this up.
The tears, the shadows of misty yesteryear.
The hell is this?
The good times. You never heard this song? What do you mean? What, yeah. This is a great song. Beautiful song. He's got an awesome voice. Oh, he's
creeps me out.
Wow, that's a beautiful song. Kodak used this for.
Okay, that's where I've heard it.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this song was everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned he was on the road and in nightclubs with Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. And then he tells this story during the documentary on the ticket.
On our show?
Yeah. We're going to do it on our show.
You talking about today or...
I go back to New York where I'm living, sitting in my apartment, huge thunderstorm outside, and I take this melody and I'm saying to myself, Sinatra, quitting show business. It started coming out.
And now the end is near. And so I face final curtain.
I finished it in 5 hours.
My friends, I'll say it.
I knew I had something different, but I knew I had something that only he could sing. I call him up, sir, I got something for you. Da da da. Bring it up. He was at Caesar's Palace playing one of his last dates.
He came in to watch a rehearsal. And he said, I gotta see you right after you're through. He had the music sheet under his arm.
More than this.
I said, it's marvelous, you know. The next day we recorded.
One of the biggest songs of all time. Now, he bought the rights to that melody and the chord progression.
Who did?
Anka did. Okay. A song that he heard while he was in France. And he bought that song for nothing. And he just kind of saved it, and then when he heard Sinatra was retiring, he took that song, rearranged it, rewrote all the lyrics to it, and that became My Way, one of the biggest songs of all time.
Elvis Merle Miller. Yeah, don't you think the person was kicking themselves that sold it?
Oh, yeah.
To Anka for pennies?
Did Merle Miller have to then also buy that song to turn it into Hemet's Way?
Hemet's Way, yeah. Yeah, it became Hemet's Way, another huge song here on the ticket.
I found that in my files, too. I think the original letter from Merle Miller.
What did it say?
From Hemet's Way. I can't remember now. I'll have to bring it up here. I need to start my online ticket archive.
Yes.
Of my online ticket museum.
So he writes that for Sinatra. It becomes one of the biggest songs of all time, and a light went off with him. That he's going to start writing for other people while he's performing in Vegas. And he'd have these long, you know, residencies. He'd be there for 3 months at Caesars. She's a Lady, Tom Jones. Jubilation.
Okay, now do you like that song, She's a Lady?
I have a better
appreciation for Paul Anka.
I have a better appreciation for it.
And hate Tom Jones.
I had no real opinion on Paul Anka before I saw this documentary. He's been around a long time. Here's the other amazing thing. He's 84. He's still performing. and he sounds amazing.
Wow.
He's got 3 dates in Florida coming up in March.
Wow.
And he's taking great care of himself.
Is he lip syncing?
No, he's not lip syncing.
Okay, all right, calm down. I just didn't know with all the dancing that he does in his show.
Let me try again by Frank Sinatra. I'm Not Anyone, Sammy Davis Jr. He wrote that. He did write one of the whip songs of the 70s. It was his song. It was a big hit. Having My Baby.
Oh, God, I hated that song.
Having My Baby.
I hated that.
What a wonderful way to say how much you love me. That's kind of a whip song, but still, it was a huge hit. So, rolling to the 80s, he hangs out with Michael Jackson. Jackson comes out to his place, and they write a few songs. It was about the time that Thriller came out. Anka says that Jackson said, hey, until we have this run with Thriller, don't do anything with those songs. I'm going to keep them. I may use them someday. So after his passing, Michael Jackson, this song comes out on the radio, and it's a huge hit. This is Michael Jackson.
Let me see
the when he voiced it in the aughts and Justin Timberlake. I remember when this came out, I went, dang, this is better than anything I heard of.
Yeah, no kidding.
From Michael Jackson. Anything on Thriller.
Better than anything on Thriller, except maybe Billie Jean. Billie Jean's good.
Written by Michael Jackson and Paul Anka.
Wow.
They wrote this together. They wrote This Is It together. It Doesn't Matter. They wrote that together. So these 3 songs that came out later from the Jackson family were co-written by Paul Anka. I had no idea. Put Your Head on My Shoulders became a TikTok sensation back in 21, I guess it was, and put Your Head on My Shoulders back in the Billboard Top 100. Doja Cat did a mashup with Put Your Head on My Shoulders. And so he keeps having hits into the aughts, into the teens, and into 2021. And this started back in 1958. And that's why he's the only artist to have hits in 7 different decades. And, man, he's written over 700 songs. I don't know if he's the greatest of all time. And, again, my position on him has always been, yeah, he's got a nice voice. And I just didn't know much about him.
Yeah.
But it just does show you that if you investigate an artist and maybe listen to more than just 1 song or 3 songs, well, his depth is just off the charts. The people that he's known, the people that he's written with and recorded with, it may be the greatest musical career ever.
And this is about Paul Anka, and it's on what service?
It's on HBO.
HBO.
It's called My Way.
I don't know if they mentioned this interesting biographical note. I did not know this either, but just reading about him, he is Jason Bateman's father-in-law.
Yeah. They showed part of that.
Really?
As Bateman's introducing him, and he says all these things about Paul Anka, and he said, and be cool because he's my father-in-law.
He married
Paul Anka.
He married Paul's daughter, Amanda.
Yeah.
Gosh.
He's a really interesting guy. And people ask him all the time, when are you going to hang him up? And he said, hey, I love doing this. And as long as you love doing it, keep doing it. And he's still writing to this day. He still sits down at the piano and writes. And he's written for all these other people from The Tonight Show. Heck, Sid Vicious did a version of My Way. I mean, you can make an argument that he's one of the most influential songwriters of all time. And Gordo always looked at him as, Paul Anka, kind of sounds like Sanka. I know he did a commercial for Kodak in the 70s. What a career, and still going at 84. And it's to the point where I'm thinking, okay, if he ever swings through here, I would love to see that, because they had a number of people talking about, yeah, you watch him now, and it's just like you're watching him in 1974 or 1984.
Pretty cool.
It's worth a watch. It really is.
Yeah. How long is it? 90 minutes or so?
I don't even know if it's that long.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like hour 20 or something.
I'm in. Congratulations, Paul Anka. You are our P1 of the week.
Yeah.